What's up? Welcome to Left Turn Cult Off the Track. This is a new podcast featuring Cody and myself. This is going to be a little bit different. This is going to be a little bit more serious and technical and not really like the live shows whatsoever. We're going to dive down into some of these races and specifically the entire regular season. And then we're going to talk about the playoffs throughout the different episodes as they come out. But if you don't like swearing and you just want to hear racing, this is the show for you.
That was a good intro. That was professional sounding. Hey, it's me, Cody, your host with the most. It's kind of weird to sit down and do something that's pre-recorded now. Like, I automatically want to start looking for chat.
Yeah, it's crazy when chat is not saying insane things.
Dude, it's the last few weeks have been just off the rails. I don't know what else to say.
Wow. Yeah. And if you've noticed, most of our wild compadres are not on this show.
A causation correlation.
Yeah. I think they've lost their lost their serious card. I like off the track though. Off the track sounds good.
Yeah. I think I'm excited to see how this plays out personally. I'm excited to see how we are going to naturally like dive into these conversations and see what the route of it is, because we don't know how this is going to turn out. By the end of this episode, we might not even be talking NASCAR.
I know. You technically, like, it's really weird right now because LTC Live, like, me and you, like, obviously, if people haven't caught on, like, we do put on a bit of a persona with different things, you know, and have fun. But this is
I'm super extra on the show.
Yeah, but this is actually like me and you being dead serious.
Dude, I'm actually wearing a suit and a tie right now.
Dude, I'm in my underwear.
No, you didn't catch that memo?
No.
Then I guess there's not going to be video for this one.
No, there's no video at all.
You probably already caught on to that.
Yeah.
At least I would hope they have.
I hope that they have. If you're listening on Spotify right now, there is no video. Joe Rogan, he gets a video though.
Maybe one day we'll get that. Why if is enough that not, people listen?
Why is that not a feature for every Spotify that does podcasts?
I think it might be now, honestly.
Is it?
I think it might be.
I looked years ago, it wasn't a thing.
No, dude, it was exclusive. You had to be a P-lister. A P-lister is like an A-lister, but for podcasters. I just made that up on the fly.
That sounded. I believed you. Thank you. How many races was in the regular season?
27, 28 actually, 28.
So we got to cover 28 races.
And our goal, if you're listening, you already know how long this is because you clicked play on it. But if you're listening, we are going to try to keep this under an hour, right at an hour. I think that'll be a fun challenge because that's going to force us to really like hit the point on some things.
Yeah. For sure. Where do you want to do we start at the?
I feel like we do an intro for this, and then I might put something fancy where it's like or something.
Yeah.
So I'll read this intro. All right, get ready to go off tracks with JKL and Cody, your host with the most. Let's cover the 28 races that happened in your 2023 NASCAR Cup Series season.
Welcome back to Left Turn Cult Off the Track. Is it off the track or off track? What do we want to name this? I keep putting the in there.
Then let's do off the track.
All right, off
the track. If that's natural, yeah.
Does off the track sound better to you? You say it.
Off track, off the track. Yeah, we're going off the track like a crazy car.
Yeah, like a off the track, yeah.
Going off the tracks like a crazy car.
Dude, you need to make that. Is that real? Is that a real song?
No. It's 100% original.
We should definitely like record that. I know a music guy. He can help us record that.
I was at, like the beginning. We could do like I.
Going off the track in a crazy car.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we could just both do it, do like a little chorus line.
Dude, that will be the intro for this podcast.
Yes, yes. I could probably do that. We could do that. I don't know. We'll do it at some point. But anyways, we started all the way in Los Angeles, California, at the
Coliseum.
Whoop, whoop. Second year in a row that we started at the LA Coliseum.
Who performed like the halftime show for that this season?
Cypress Hill.
Okay.
Because I remember Cypress Hill.
Oh, and dude. It was like 10 straight minutes of them just going insane in the membrane.
Dude, they have one song, something about Rockstar. I can't remember. But it's metal, dude.
I was never a big Cypress Hill kid.
I love Cypress Hill, man.
That,
they're awesome.
Yeah, that fits you, though.
But Wiz Khalifa? Wiz Khalifa was there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Khalifa was there. Or was Cypress Hill the first year?
Oh, my
Lord. Or did they both do this year?
I want to say I think Ice Cube and...
Ice Cube was the first one.
Ice Cube was the first one. And Pitbull, right?
Yep, you're right. So it was Cypress Hill and Wiz Khalifa. Shout out Wiz Khalifa. Dude, in 2011, I was 15/16. And in my head, never once tried the devil's lettuce, especially like at that age. I thought that I was like the biggest stoner in the world because I listened to Wiz Khalifa religiously. I never smoked. Like, I wasn't that kid. That wasn't me. But I listened to him, and I was like, I get it.
You kind of had, like, a Mark Martin thing going on.
Yeah, him and Gucci.
Yeah, dude, him and Gucci Mane. That's crazy.
What a duo.
I like the LA Clash. I like what they're doing with it, with the concerts and stuff, and getting attendance from that region to come in and see a race. And especially seeing, because, I mean, Californians, they have style. If one thing is they have style. They have three things. They have style, they have electric cars,
and shit on the streets.
Shit on the streets. That's three things.
That's our one swear word for this episode.
Okay. That's our one. They have those three things. They make poopies on the sidewalks, and it's insane. But the way they dress up and like the retro fits is kind of cool. But
yeah, I think that's a very cultured area for us to go. And I know a lot of people get bent out of shape when they hear the word like culture and NASCAR used in the same sentence. I think it's good for NASCAR to get a little bit more cultured outside of the culture we have in the South. Like, I think it's cool to dip your toes in the water and see how warm a pond is, you know, in a holler next to you. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. So I think going to these places, trying to attract fans that are not traditionally NASCAR fans, I think that is not only a great move for the sport going forward, but also for us. Like, we're going to be able to meet different people at the tracks that maybe come from a totally different walk of life than me or you did.
Yeah, and there's somebody that went, there's a kid or a man or a woman that went to that track, right? And they fell in love
with 100%
with NASCAR. I mean, that's how it happens. Like, for me and you, it happened with us watching it because of your papaw that got you into racing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, your papaw got you into racing. My dad got me into racing. And that's just how it starts. It's the same thing with football and other sports. So there's somebody that went to that track that is now going to be 100% a NASCAR fan. And that's awesome. And I love the LA Coliseum. It's such a badass venue.
Yeah, dude, it's a super cool place for them to race, right? I mean, not only is it superly historic, but like, they're putting a racetrack inside of a football stadium, a temporary racetrack. Like, just think about the engineering feat that is. You know, probably 5 to 10 years ago, that wasn't as sensible as it is today. And that's just the type of advancements we have. Like, they're just able to throw down a racetrack, scrape it up, and be ready for football season.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's playing there?
It's USC.
USC.
That's the school that plays there.
They just had a game there, right?
That's the Rose Bowl.
They're having the Rose Bowl there. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not big into college football, so forgive me. I know a lot about the NASCAR, though. That's something I know about. And things that I know about the LA Coliseum.
I do want to say that I'm an idiot. The Rose Bowl is not there. The Rose Bowl is at the Rose Bowl Stadium.
We both know NASCAR, though. That's,
yeah, hey, you're here for NASCAR. You're not here for college football history.
Yeah. One thing I do want to point out about the LA Coliseum, and one thing that I also want on the show is I'm going to try. I don't know about you, but I'm going to try not to have any bias. For this one, I want to be at this with a technical standpoint. But RFK did not make the Clash.
They did not. You were correct.
Yeah. Which is insane thinking about now. Because I remember I watched them not make it, and I was like, man, this is rough. Like, they missed it the year prior, too, I'm pretty sure. And then they show up to this and miss it completely. And I, that's not good.
Did you start the season in the dumpster for your RFK boys?
Yeah, 100%. I was I think I sent out a tweet on my Twitter, JKL Cult, JKL underscore Cult.
Hey, good username, buddy.
Thanks, man. I sent out a tweet, and I was like, what are we even doing, man?
So, the Clash as a whole, not having Roush in it at all, what did you notice your first race of the season? Not being a fan for that race.
Say that one more time. I heard it.
I probably said that kind of backwards. You got to watch it as a NASCAR fan, not as a fan of a specific team because your team was not in the race itself. So how was watching that?
I enjoy the Clash at the LA Coliseum. I think as race fans, like, we have to enjoy it. I don't think that this year was as crazy. I mean, you think about the opening year with Todd Dillon. And how Todd Dillon bulldozed people and how it was just so insane. Like, Kyle Larson just chucked Justin Haley into a wall, you know. And the only thing that I can really, like, remember from the Clash this time around was Austin Dillon dumping Bubba.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that I can remember, you know, in the opening season for that was, I mean, it was the first race of the next gens. So many parts broken due to the independent suspensions.
It felt like there were a lot of guys that were all over the place, too. Like, new faces to new teams.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle Busch starting a brand new year out in the 8. I mean, what a hell of a first race for him. What'd they get, second and third? They got silver and bronze, right?
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, RCR came out strong. But I want you to look back. I guess I'll wrap us up here. I want you to think about who won the first LA Clash.
Martin Truex Jr.
No, yeah. Last year's.
Joey Logano.
Yeah, and what did Joey go on to do?
He went on to win the championship.
And then this year, Martin Truex Jr., coming off of a winless season, he wins the LA Clash.
So you think MTJ is blessed?
I mean, if it goes 2 for 2, you can't argue it.
Yeah. You think he's blessed by the Coliseum gods?
Yeah, the Olympic gods. Because that was originally built for the Olympics.
Yeah, I do remember that because they ran the torch in.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah. That's cool.
So maybe it was Zeus. Maybe Zeus watches over NASCAR.
Martin Truex Jr., man. What? He's had a good year.
He has had himself a good season.
He has. Yeah, the next race we were at.
Dude, did you ever think that you would get to kick off the NASCAR season at the Daytona 500?
No, I never thought that I would get to be at that track, man. What a – of all – and I don't mean any disrespect to the racing venues that we travel to, but every racing venue – and I, Cody, I feel like you'll agree with this. Every racing venue that we go to has a certain personality. As in Talladega, you know, it's just one of those places, or Bristol or Martinsville or Atlanta. They just have a certain personality to it. But Daytona, the minute that you see that track and just of all the historical significance that it has, dude, it's goosebumps.
When you first see it, you feel it, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of tracks that you don't really feel it until you walk in. With Daytona, you feel it the moment your eyes like are laid on it. I was lucky enough on my side of the plane coming in, I got to look down and see it, you know, before we landed.
Oh, so, yeah.
Like, I got that first taste of it, and I was like, dude, this place is huge. but we get there, you know, we were there for the whole weekend. I think we got there, Wednesday night. So we were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Incredible experience. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Dude, it's magical. I don't know what else you could say about it.
Yeah. What was the place we went to? Was it the Blue Oyster? Is that what I'm thinking of?
That's where you went. I skipped out on that.
Dude, I want to go back. That's such a cool place to have, like, or cool place to eat at. Just the, like, the Hooters across the street from the track. You know, this is the things that you can, I mean, it's a beach trip with a NASCAR race, and not only a NASCAR race, the most prestigious NASCAR race of the year.
It's, dude, that trip and that night at Hooters was like one of the highlights of my whole weekend.
Yes.
We were just there listening to the duels from the outside. We were watching them on TV, but just having a good time. But moving on to the 500. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won. Kyle Busch won the Daytona 500. Ricky won the Daytona 520.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember being like, whoa, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. just drove the JTG Daughtry 47 Chevrolet to victory lane. He just won one of the most prestigious races of all time. And the biggest thing that I thought of when he went across the line is I thought about Morgan McClure. I don't know why that I associate those two teams together, but it was just such an underdog victory.
Oh, yeah, dude, 100%. I don't think anybody really was mad at the outcome of that race. You can't be mad about that.
No. I love what JTG Daughtry is doing. I mean, drop down from 2-1 car. They're getting competitive. They've got, you could say what you want to about Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I know a lot of people make jokes and they call him, you know, Ricky Stenhouse and everything like that.
It's a really good nickname.
It is. It's such a good nickname. But Ricky, I mean, you could say what you want to about the guy, but the guy is talented.
1,000%. Yeah. I mean, I don't care who you are or what biases you want to have about a driver. Anybody who comes in and spends, you know, close to a decade in the sport, there's talent there. They're not there for no reason. And Ricky, whenever you think of super speedways, Ricky's always a guy that you think of.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always been up front. Back even in his Roush days, he was always competitive at speedways. I'll tell you, though, my favorite part about Ricky winning was a celebration.
Oh, dude, the pull-ups on the catch fence?
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. There's something to think about there. If, God forbid, his fingers slip, that's a long way down.
Yeah, that would have been the end of his career, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have had his, like, his victory and his, like, lowest moment all within a span of, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I would have had, like, PTSD from witnessing him. I was pretty close to where he was doing it at. But man, yeah. The takeaways from there that I seen was between the two cars that I thought had a good shot at winning it, I think we forget, and I swear that I'm not being biased here, but RFK dominated forever.
Yeah, they were strong.
Yeah. Dominated forever, man. I mean, they were so strong.
Yeah, and you didn't shut up about that whole night.
No, I didn't.
Or the next day.
Yeah, I was like, man, they lost. But guess
what? You were onto something.
Yeah, I was like, dude, like, they have to be so, like, coming from the Clash, like we just talked about, and how they didn't make it to the show. And, like, you know, whatever. They didn't make it to the show at the LA Clash, but the LA Clash is really just, you know, it's a pissing contest. Right. It's not for points. And then come to Daytona and just absolutely dominate. Between the cars that I noticed that were strong, it was them and Kyle Busch. Those three cars, it was their race. But Ricky was up there for a good while. Ricky made a good shot at it, and seeing him win, we got to see the car.
We did. The next day, we went directly to the NASCAR, or what was it called technically? I don't want to butcher that.
Was it the
Motorsports Hall of Fame? Is that what it was?
I want to say that, but I'm not sure. The Daytona Museum.
Yeah, the museum that's located at Daytona's racetrack. We went
super
to that.
Cool
that
museum.
Yeah, dude, we spent hours in there. We were like, yeah, we'll stop by real quick. And it was like 2 hours later, we were finally coming out. There's so much to see.
Yeah, I mean, that track has got so much that's happened on its surface. And not only that, just the inside of the track. I mean, just how you can go up and look at the cars through the window and see the teams working on it. That's just an experience that, you know, you don't get to go on you just don't get to waltz on to the Philadelphia Eagles practice squad and just watch them practice, you know.
Right.
You don't get that interaction with any other sport, and this sport gives you that, and so close, like so insanely close.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that there is another sport quite like NASCAR in terms of what it provides for fans as far as like an experience. You go to a football game, you go and you sit down and you leave. Go to a hockey game, you go and you sit down and you leave. You go to a baseball game, you go and you sit down and you leave. NASCAR, like, if you're willing to, you know, do a garage pass or a garage tour type of thing, there's so much to do when you go down in there and, like, watch these teams and see them work on the cars, walk down the backside of pit road, and you can see these guys, you know, talking to their crew chiefs, you know, within, like, 2 feet of each other. There's no other sport where you get that close to the athlete.
No. I mean, that's it. To be able just to go, like, for instance, we had this podcast on our buddy Brayton Laster's car, and me and you and Summer went down there and just watched the race. We just went down there and watched the race from the infield. And I'm not a fan. We've talked about this before. I'm not a fan of watching race. Like, it's cool to do it once.
Yeah.
But, like, if I ever go back to Daytona, I'm not watching a race. I don't like watching races from the infield. And
no,
you know,
it's just – it's different.
100% if we wanted to, right? And I'm not saying this to, like, you know, for, like, egotistical reasons. If we wanted to, and as long as we've done this show, I guarantee you that we could probably find a way to get to the infield to watch a race. But it sucks.
Facts. I think it's a cool thing to do one time.
Yeah.
But anything more than that. And now, listen, if I'm a sponsor, if I can be on the pit box, that would probably be a really cool experience to be on a pit box.
Yes, I agree.
And it is cool to kind of walk around and see the infield of a track, see a few laps maybe of like practice or qualifying from the inside. After that, though, I don't want to be on the infield. I want to be in the stands. Like, I want to be, like, rubbing shoulders with some sweaty drunk guy.
Yeah, that's the whole experience. That's why you go to these races. And 9 times out of 10, you meet somebody that's next to you, and you start talking to them, and you find out who they pull for. You find out why they're there. Like, for me, instantly, when I was sit down in my seats, because we were separated, when I sit down in my seats, the person that was directly next to me was from Canada. They had saw the race in the Daytona 500 in 2023.
Yeah.
So it was 2013, and he said that they had a lot of fun, but they said that they would come back in 10 years, and they said they were going to keep doing that. They like coming every 10 years to watch the race.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. He didn't know a single driver, though. That was crazy. Like, I was having to explain to him, like, what drivers were who, and he was like, who's in the 8 car? Is that Dale Jr.? And I was like, dude, Dale Jr. wasn't in the 8 when he was in 2013. Yeah. Where you been, bro?
He's been out of that car since 08.
Yeah, I was like, are you sure that you come in 2013, dog? You know? But, yeah, it's just so fun. But, yeah, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. wins the Daytona 500 and is the very first driver to secure a playoff spot.
Ricky's locked in. The next week, we go from L.A. to Daytona, back to L.A. virtually, Auto Club. Final race at Auto Club. Little bit of a surpriser here. Kyle Busch comes out and wins in his third race in RCR equipment.
What a start of the season for that car and that team.
And it's that team, I don't think that they really like missed a beat, because they were pretty dang competitive last season with Tyler Reddick too. But I think a new driver coming in, you're not sure if he's going to mesh with them. Kyle Busch had a really, really, really bad 2022. So you didn't know if Kyle Busch, which I didn't think he was, you didn't know if Kyle was maybe washed.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I was one of the people that thought of that. I didn't know if Kyle going to RCR. And the reason I say that is because I knew Reddick was good. And Reddick had a really good season in the 8 car in 2022. Like, I was surprised that he left and went to 2311. But Kyle going over there and the Joe Gibbs contract not working out, I just wasn't sure that he was going to come out and start winning races. But, I mean, second at L.A. Clash, second Daytona 500, right? He was second in that race. Or was it Joey?
No, Joey was second.
Yeah. He had it won. Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle Busch was leading on the final lap.
Yeah. Kyle Busch was leading on the final lap. Had a chance to win that race. And then comes out and wins Auto Club at the last race at Auto Club.
Yeah, RIP Auto Club. Hey, just wanted to throw this in there. Chase Elliott finished second.
That is a really good start for a not good year for Mr. Chase.
Yeah, so he finishes second. I guess he went to celebrate finishing second by going snowboarding in the mountains.
Oh, no.
Because going into Las Vegas, we don't have Chase Elliott anymore. Chase is out at first indefinitely with a leg injury that was caused by a snowboarding accident.
Yeah.
Josh Berry got called up. Josh Berry's a guy that we're going to mention like 15 more times throughout this episode here. Willie B starts off his incredible season with his win at Vegas 1.
Yep, and William Byron, I'll go ahead and say this right now, best Hendrick car of the year. He has had a phenomenal season. That 24 team has just got something going on that a lot of people don't. And by a lot of people, I mean the rest of the cars at Hendrick. I don't know what happened to that team, but it's like they've just – I don't know. It's like they've just fallen apart. And I don't – And to be honest with you, I'm going to go on record by saying this. I don't care that Chase broke his leg. I don't care that he was out for so many races. There is no way that 9 car should not have been in victory lane, as big of a team as that is. Same with the 48.
I don't disagree with that. I think that there's something – stepping back and looking at it, unbiased, you know, and genuine, there is something wrong with the 9 and the 48 team. I certainly do not think it's a driver issue in terms of talent.
No, they've both proven that they're winners at this level.
but there is something bad going on. Whether that's leadership, and a lot of people flame people for saying it. I don't think that Allan Gustafson is the guy. I don't ever think he's been the guy. I think that he has a very talented driver, and I think he is one. I've heard the stat many times in the last couple of weeks. Allan Gustafson has 38 career wins. That's Kyle Busch, Mark Martin, Jeff Gordon, Chase Elliott. Those are incredible drivers, but that's only 38 wins in that time with those incredible drivers.
I know I just said, and I said that, and I didn't mean to say that. That's not my opinion at all. I just said that I don't think it's the drivers. I don't think it's the crew chiefs. I think it's the drivers.
So you think it's a driver thing?
I do think it's a driver issue. I think that the new car does not suit Bowman and Chase Elliott.
Bowman had an incredible 2021.
Great 2021. And I think he
didn't have a great season last year, and that was the first season in this new gen.
Yeah, I don't think that it's a crew chief issue. I think it's specifically a driver issue. I don't think they're adapting well to this new car. And especially, and it's hard as a driver nowadays, too, because right now, we just went through a change in the car. You can't tell me that doesn't change how this car drives, especially with the new front clips and everything like that. I think it's a driver issue. I mean, you look at Chase Elliott specifically, and there's no doubt that Chase Elliott has talent. I'm not saying that. Chase Elliott has a ton of talent. But you look at him on road courses in 2021 and years before that, and just how well he was, and then you look at him in the next-gen car, he is not performing at the same level. I just don't think that him or Alex Bowman, or really Kyle Larson for all that matter, he's not really had a Kyle Larson year. All of these guys, man. And before, I would say Hendrick is the best team. But now I don't think Hendrick's the best team anymore.
Do you think I don't want to veer off too much, but do you think that we're starting to see maybe another Hendrick slump?
I think so. Yeah. I personally, I think so.
And will that catch up to Willie?
I don't know. There's something that I don't think so. I think that at some point, there's no way that Willie's not talking to Chase and talking to Kyle and talking to Alex, right? Or those teams aren't communicating with each other. But I mean, we've heard in the past, it's been stated that just because you race on the same team doesn't mean that you're going to give away all your secrets.
Right.
And I mean, I think that was. And I know you've already got this in there, but this is a great segue. I think that was part of the Luver drama. I think that's why they were doing it.
So Willie B goes back to back. He wins the first Phoenix race of the season, which is a really good indicator for how it's going to look end of the year. If you're one of the other 15 guys going into the playoffs, the last thing you want to hear is that William Byron won the first race of the year at Phoenix.
Yeah.
But we did find out that Hendrick was doing a little dirty with their louvers, which if you're not familiar with what a louver is, it's the air vents that are on the front of their nice little Chevy Camaros. And they were modifying those in some form.
Yes, they were modifying the parts. And if you remember the last season, RFK and Front Row specifically were modifying the deck lid. Which the deck lid is the part that goes in between the taillights. It's really not anything important in my eyes. I mean, I'm sure that it has some aerodynamical advantages there and how they designed it and everything like that. But it's really just market placement for how the Mustang looks on the street. I can say that because I have a Mustang sitting outside in my parking lot. And one time I put a sticker on it and I told my dad that I lost my keys. I've been penalized. Oh, shout out Roush. But they It was them, and then it was a calling card. And I can't remember. Was it the 31?
It was the 31.
Yeah, it was the 31 of Justin Haley.
Killed his season. He never had a shot, dude.
Dude, he's racing for Rick Ware next year, so you're telling me.
Yeah. It was trust the process. Yeah. But we can't talk about that yet. That's not happened yet in our timeline.
Not yet.
So Hendrick gets a big slap on the wrist. Here's where I just throw on my tinfoil hat for a second. I think Chase Elliott didn't actually get hurt, but they knew NASCAR was about to crack down on him. So they were like, Chase, we need you to pretend you're injured. And that helped get a little bit of sympathy from the NASCAR world versus everybody being mad about the louvers.
See, now I can when you first said that on the live show, and now I know that it wasn't a bit, like you actually believe that.
I think that that is possible. And I'm not, listen, I know that people probably think it's like a meme or a joke. Dude, that's how stuff just actually works in real life.
Yeah.
That stuff happens, okay? That is not a ridiculous claim. Now, is it realistic? Probably not. And I acknowledge that. But for somebody to be like, no, that for sure didn't happen. Why did they have him cooped up in the mountains of Colorado for all 6 weeks? I never saw a picture of the guy in a cast.
I saw him on a podcast with Eric Church in the cast.
JKL, I can put a cast on you to film something.
You can call me Jacob, dude. JKL is just a listener handle if they want to call me that, but that's fine. Yeah, I don't know if I can get behind that one. Usually it's the other way around. Usually I'm the one that has the tinfoil hat. Yeah. I don't know if I can say that I think that he actually got hurt.
I respect it. I'm not gonna like deny it, you know, like the people who like deny the moon landing. That's not me at all. Like, yeah. I'm not being that guy.
Well, the only reason I'm saying that is because they ended up getting away with it.
They did. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is insane.
Haley didn't.
That's what is insane. And these what do they call it? What's the board that those
the appeal panel?
The appeal panel. We've got to figure out something to make the appeal panel set in stone.
I just want it public.
Yes, public with what's the word I'm looking for? Documented proof.
Yes. Yeah, that would be really cool. Because it's an alternating group of people. Anybody who's not aware, they serve like per quarter. So if you get fined and you appeal something in Q1 of the year, and then something happens in Q2 and you go to appeal that, you're going to be before a different board.
Yeah. And
so it's always rotating.
Well, the thing is like, but how stupid, how dumb does the second penalty panel, the appeal panel, the second one that judged Justin Haley, that heard out their appeal, how dumb do they have to be to not realize that Hendrick just got away? Like, they got, like you said, a slap on the wrist. They paid a fine. They paid more money. And it's not like Rick Hendrick is hurting for money. That's you know, whatever. How dumb does the second appeal panel have to be to absolutely just throw the book at the other team that done the exact same thing?
Like, there's no way that you think. And not expect backlash.
Yeah, and there was backlash, and I was one of the people. I don't know if you remember it, dude, but I was hot.
Yeah, I mean, rightfully so. We just saw that is the equivalent of if me and you were to go in and we were to rob a gas station and we both took a Reese cup and we both said the exact same thing and we both got arrested and then they're like, hey, you can go on. And I'm stuck in the cop car. It is the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, no matter what makes me so angry about it is the year prior, RFK and Front Row. And there might have been another car that got hit with the same penalty. But the ones I remember is RFK in front row. They did not get that option. They got hit in the points as well.
Yeah.
So why is that? Why is there an appeal panel? Why isn't there just one set in stone penalty, just like for an uncontrolled tire or driving through many pit boxes?
So do you think that they should not be able to appeal?
I think that you should be able to appeal, but I think NASCAR should have it in-house.
You don't think that that maybe creates a little bit more room for some dirty money play anywhere?
Well, I would say that you probably have the same outcome, but I don't know. Good point. But obviously there's dirty play in it already. Because this is the second time that Hendrick has done something like that, right? Because of
Chase Briscoe got kicked out of the playoffs for Willie B.
Yeah, yeah.
Last season,
about it. Yeah, and that's what makes me mad. And I mean, no fault of Chase Briscoe. Why Chase Briscoe was even penalized to begin with was insane. Like Cole Custer, you know, Cole Custer did a teammate thing. He did, but yeah, there should be one set in stone penalty. There should not be. It should not be rules for thee, but not for me in this sport. And I think that's when that happens, that's when we look like a joke. Because when this happened, I was like, man, with all the drama that happened last year, here we go again.
I think that the way that it has been handled all season has made the officiating of NASCAR look like a joke.
Yeah.
I don't – usually I'm the first guy to be in NASCAR's corner any time, any day. I usually defend NASCAR to my deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
But NASCAR this season, as a sanctioning body of a sport, has had like NFL levels of just inept decisions.
Yeah, it's not looked good. And that was one of the things where it makes us look like an absolute joke. And I mean, dude, how do you not expect controversy to come from that is my question.
It's a breeding ground for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you not expect people to come up with the conspiracy that there are teams that can get away with things within NASCAR? Because right, that is proof in the pudding. Like, you know, you don't really have to read between the lines on some things.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's frustrating. I feel like it's beating a dead horse to, like, even bring it up anymore. Just yep. Because, like, I can complain and you can complain. It is not going to change at all.
No, not at all.
All I could do is just be like, there's definitely a better way, but whatever way we're going about it right now is not that. So all I could do is just complain about it.
Yeah. And this isn't like, I don't want people to think that this is like us like pointing the finger at NASCAR. This is like a plea to NASCAR to say, hey, this is something that we need to work on as an organization and as a sport, because that's not going to gain new fans. Fans are going to turn away. A lot of fans don't like turmoil and controversy.
Right.
It walks them away, and that's just something that's not good. I'll tell you what didn't change. Joey Logano won.
Man, that was my second race of the season.
You were there. You were there.
I was there. Atlanta puts on. Atlanta is my favorite track in the world. My favorite track that I've been to by far is Atlanta Motor Speedway. The way that they treat visitors and fans, like A1. The track itself is pristine. It's beautiful. Little outdated. That's okay because the racing makes up for it. But yeah, Joey wins. We kind of got to speed run these next few, which I think there's no sweat to that. Tyler Reddick wins COTA. So yep. He locks in the 23-11, number 45 into the playoffs. Larson dominated. Richmond won. I almost went to that one in retrospect. I'm glad I didn't. But Larson wins, locks himself in. Chase Elliott is still out at this point with his leg injury. Chris Bell wins Bristol Dirt. You were there for that.
I was there. Yeah, Chris Bell won. That's the first time that a dirt guy has won at that track.
True.
I want to point that out.
What's a fun little story? Jonathan Davenport. He raced in that race.
He did. Jonathan Davenport.
Dirt guy. He got out and then complained about it.
Yeah, our buddy. Well, not our buddy yet, but I'm trying to meet this man just because I feel like we would have conversations. We got to see our NASCAR acquaintance, Kenny Wallace, bring back race day.
Shout out, Kenny. The race day revival.
Super cool to see. Yeah. That was the first track.
Me and you both were like little kids, standing. Because we were front row for that.
Yeah.
We were right there ready, waiting for it. I know it was just as nostalgic for you as it was for me. Super cool.
Speed Channel days, bro.
Yeah, man. And you know, they're bringing it back for the Bristol Night Race. So that's exciting. We'll definitely be there for that. There's no question about it. But yeah, Chris Bell wins, locks himself in. And then the very next week, I did myself a little doubleheader here. So I traveled up to Martinsville, and I got to watch Kyle Larson absolutely dominate that race.
What do you think about Martinsville as a whole with this season and last season? Because for me as a spectator, the short tracks are suffering.
I have not missed a Martinsville race since spring 2021.
Oh my God. I didn't realize you went to all of them.
Yeah. Honestly, man, you know, my stance on short track racing, I really don't care for it, but there's just something special about Martinsville. There's just genuinely something special about that place. I don't think that I will ever miss another Martinsville race, no matter. And this is me speaking for myself, not a fan or trying to be positive for NASCAR. I myself, doesn't matter how bad the racing gets, I will still go to Martinsville any chance I can get. I love that place, man. There's an atmosphere there.
I mean, I agree. I'm still kind of pissed, to tell you the truth, because I've yet to have a Martinsville hot dog.
Yeah, you're Martinsville. You need to come with me sometime.
I might go with you this year for the Halloween. The last time I couldn't go because I was in Mexico.
True.
But I'll probably go this year. I've been trying to talk Dad into going to that one. I feel like
that's
going to
be a doubleheader for me. I'm going to do Martinsville and Phoenix.
God, yeah. Yeah. You're going to the championship race.
Yeah. But yeah, Martinsville, Kyle Larson dominated. Chase Elliott returned, and he finished 10th. I think 8th, 9th, and 10th was Blaney, Bubba, Chase, because they all got out and like hung out after the race with each other.
So Chase Elliott returns. He's
back, baby.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say he's back, but he showed up.
He was there.
He was there, yeah. I was there for this one.
Yeah, you were here for you go ahead. You lead this one. This is this place is for you as what like Atlanta is for me, I think.
Yeah, I love Talladega. The biggest thing about Talladega is for me is that it's out in the middle of nowhere. There's no cell service. You're with your friends. You have a good time. It's relaxation for me. But man, what a race this was. But my God, I did not expect Kyle Busch to win at this track. Kyle Busch has won so many times.
I want to say Bubba would have won that race, man, if Ryan Blaney wouldn't have wrecked him coming out of turn two.
Oh, dude. Bubba definitely. It was Bubba's fault. I'll say that. As somebody that was there, I thought it was Bubba's fault. This was the first track that we had a really bad wreck at, though. With Kyle Larson and Ryan Preece. That was an insane wreck to see in person.
I'm glad you bring that up.
Yeah.
Absolutely exploded Kyle Larson's car.
Yeah, and I think that was the first time that looked bad. That wasn't good. And I think that was when cause for concern really came into play for the next gen car. Well, I'm not going to say next gen, Gen 7.
Yeah. Also, though, in all fairness, how often do we expect those cars to get hit, you know, at that speed? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so crazy that Ryan Preece was a part of
it. Was the guy. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Preece is slowly becoming Ryan Newman.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, Kyle Busch wins. That's his second win of the season at this point.
Yep. In McLaren Grills car. I only know that because Dalton was like, I've never heard of McLaren Grills, but man, I love them now because they sponsored.
Dude, he's got like a hat and everything. Yeah. 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 He's all decked out. Up next, Martin Truex Jr. He gets his first regular season win at Dover. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't this a Monday race?
This was a Monday race.
We've had a lot of them. We've had a lot of them this season.
Yep.
So leading up to this race is when Alex Bowman broke his back in his sprint car race. So Josh Berry is tapped to come and hop in the number 48 for a few weeks.
Josh Berry.
Mention number two of Josh Berry.
Yeah, and I have a conspiracy about Josh Berry and where he's going. I'll say that at the end of this show. But, yeah, Bowman's out. Josh Berry in. Yep. And then we go to Kansas where Dennis the Menace Hamlin wins. I just want to go on record and say I love Denny.
There's no reason why anybody shouldn't love Denny.
Denny is such a huge part of this sport. And what he does with actions detrimental, man, he's so good. I think he goes over the top sometimes, but Denny locks himself in with Kansas.
Byron, the following week, win number three for Willie B is at the first Darlington race of the season. I don't really remember too much or if anything stands out to me for this race. So moving on forward, we went back to a much beloved yet formerly hated track, but everybody remembers that they loved it. North Wilkesboro.
Dude.
Listen, I love North Wilkesboro. If they would have tried to take it away back in the day, I would have been like, no, this is where racing comes from. So I feel like I'm not a hypocrite by saying I'm glad Wilkesboro is back.
Kyle Petty once said at Bristol at one of the track sides, I'll never forget it because the booze came. Me and my dad just looked at each other and was like, oh, my Lord, man.
Were you there?
I was there. Okay. I was there for the track side at Bristol. And Kyle Petty once said that NASCAR fans don't know what they want. They just like to complain. And that's a quote that I've remembered. And this is proof in the pudding, man. Case in point right here, North Wilkesboro. Everybody wanted North Wilkesboro to come back. North Wilkesboro returns, and then the race ain't good, and then people say North Wilkesboro should go. It's an insane thing that NASCAR fans do. So just to go ahead and put this out here, North Wilkesboro coming back is one of the most important things that sports ever had happen. The nostalgia for that track, the love that a lot of people have for that track, it's NASCAR in a nutshell. I do think the track suffered from the short track package. I will say that. I think that was a big problem and why the race wasn't as good. But that being said, that was pretty case in point North Wilkesboro.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I mean, if you go back and watch a race in North Wilkesboro at older cars, that was the way that track ran. I mean, it wasn't really like a Bristol or Martinsville.
To see an authentic North Wilkesboro race.
Yeah, well, I put it in the same boat as Richmond, and we saw Richmond this year.
Yeah.
I put it in the exact same boat. But super cool for them to go back. I don't think it should be the All-Star race. I will say that. I think it should be a points race, and they should run a full race there a 400 lapper or 500 lapper or whatever. But I do think that we should return the All-Star race back to it, back to its home. Charlotte's just such a good race for the next gen. Or said it again, Gen 7. It's such a good race for Gen 7. There's no reason that we shouldn't be running it there.
I agree. I love Charlotte. I think it is an incredible track. I think it's cool, though, the way they're going about it with Wilkesboro, which I anticipate. You know, we're a little bit behind right now in terms of getting the schedule for next season. But I expect Wilkesboro to be a points race. I think that, personally, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I think Bristol will be the All-Star race.
You think
the spring date. Yeah. I think that's what'll get moved to late May.
If they do it like that, the only thing they need to do is they need to up the race laps, because when they done it during COVID, I was there. That was terrible. There was not enough time for that track to come in. It was follow the leader.
I don't think that they would adjust the laps. I really don't. I think that it's like Bristol's a track that you have to put rubber down for it to get racy. And yeah. I just don't think that the All-Star race would ever allow them room to run more. But anyway, to wrap up that little spiel, next week we're at Charlotte, and Ryan Blaney wins the Coke 600.
Snaps a huge winless streak.
Yeah, man. A streak that I think had surprised a lot of people. But I think some people, myself included, I don't think they were as surprised. Nothing at all against Blaney as a driver. I just think that maybe sometimes he's placed on a pedestal a little bit higher than what people should.
Yeah. I think, man, I don't think what a bunch of feathers that were ruffled when Kyle Petty compared him to Casey Kane.
Yeah.
But I don't say that he's wrong, man. Blaney, he's a good driver. He's a talented driver. For whatever reason, he does have a lot of bad luck. I will say that. Out of the drivers that have bad luck, he's one of them. He has a ton of bad luck, but just not running good. But, I mean, run good here and won one of the most – I mean, this is a crown jewel race.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Kyle Petty doesn't have a right to compare anybody to anyone. I just don't think Kyle Petty's that guy to be doing that. I mean, I don't think that being compared to Casey Kane is a bad thing.
It's not, no.
Casey Kane was an incredible driver that unfortunately had a few too many injuries that impacted his performance.
And I should preface by saying that I don't think Casey Kane was a bad driver. Being compared to Casey Kane is a good thing. Casey Kane had a very good career in NASCAR, ran a long time. I'm not saying that Blaney can't come out and win a championship either. He could. It's not going to be this season. We were just talking about that before we started recording this.
Yeah.
Dale Jr. is smoking something. He's insane.
I don't know. The only reason why I would put Joey in the top four is just because of it being Joey Logano. Yeah. The Penske thing, right now, to me, any Ford team that's not Roush, I don't put a whole lot in their basket.
Yep. Agreed. Completely agreed.
But back into this race, Chase Elliott for the Coke 600, he's out again. he right rears Denny Hamlin on the front stretch, so he gets suspended for a week. A lot of people get mad. The way I see it, Bubba got suspended last season for right rearing somebody, and it for the first time all season long, NASCAR made the right move. They stuck to their guns, and you know it was unpopular, and a lot of people just didn't like it. But guess what? If you're the most popular driver or one of the most hated drivers, you right rear somebody, you're getting suspended.
When I was as an adult and as a fan and as an analyst, if you right hook someone, that is a piece of, we've already used our one cuss word, but It's a piece of crap move. You don't do that. I don't care how mad you get. That's especially at the point where they were racing. That was a very fast point at the track. And Denny says that he's still feeling some things in his foot.
I'll be honest, though. I think that's Denny just being Denny there, to be honest.
It was a hard hit. That was a hard crash.
Oh, dude, that was hard.
Yeah. But what a dumb move by the non. I mean,
right. Going into this, he knew that he had an uphill battle to make the playoffs due to the time that he had already missed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a shame on him, not only because you're putting your team at another disadvantage, but you're the most popular driver. Whether you like it or not, there is an obligation for you now to stand above and beyond and stand out and set an example for the sport, because that's what people are looking at you for now, because you are the most popular guy. So, yeah, Chase, in my opinion, is rightfully held to a different standard. The same way that Dale Jr. was held to a different standard, right? Stepping back and looking at it, Dale Jr. had one hell of a Cup Series career, but everybody always says, well, he didn't win a ring. You know, he didn't win a championship, ignoring the rest of the accolades. But just because there was a standard and an example set for him, and, you know, whether Chase wants that or not, as long as he's going to be in the sport, he's going to have to stick with that.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I totally agree. I think Chase just wants to race cars, and I don't think he wants the role that's been bestowed upon him. But honestly, I don't think Junior wanted that role either. Right. It's either you embrace it or you don't, and I feel like he needs to do a better job of embracing it and not do things like this, because you are the pinnacle of the sport. Most of the fans... Like, if you're listening to this and you're a Chase fan and you're watching, getting ready to watch the playoffs kick off, and your driver's not in it, and Chase is like the poster child of NASCAR, that's a problem. This wasn't an off season for him. This was a season of mistakes, and I hope that he learns from them.
I think he will. I mean, I anticipate Chase to come back strong. I don't think that's insane to think that that's not how it plays out. Moving on.
Gateway?
Yep.
Two wins there.
KFB, baby.
Yep. Third win of the year. I mean, can't say much about Kyle Busch. He's coming out and swinging. He's already having a greater year than his prior year to Joe Gibbs Racing. Proving it to everybody.
Kyle... strong showing. This is kind of like the sky's the limit right here at this point in the season with that number 8 team. Side points from Gateway. Alex Bowman makes his return from his back break. And Corey LaJoie was the pilot of the number 9, which was initially my theory going back to when Chase first got hurt. I was hell-bent that Corey LaJoie was going to end up in that ride. Hell-bent. And everybody thought I was crazy.
It was not a good showing.
Indeed.
Yeah, when you've got Carson Hocevar in your car outrunning you in a Hendrick car, it was not a good showing. I just don't know, man. Like, I love what Corey LaJoie does for the sport. I do, because he genuinely cares. But... I don't know if Spire is ever going to get to that point, say, is like front row. You know, front row has been around for a while, and it took them a long time to be contenders.
Do you think that Spire has a competitive future in NASCAR?
No. No. I think Corey LaJoie is destined to race somewhere with a big name. I just don't know where that is, but that was not good. And I mean, I'm not saying that is like hearty har har. He didn't run good. I don't like him. I'm saying that did not look good, and he knew it. he admitted it. I mean, with all of these drivers, there's not a single driver in this field I want to see not succeed, you know?
Right.
Like I don't wish for somebody to lose their ride and lose their job. Like I'm a fan of everybody at the end of the day. I love what they do. I think people make stupid moves, but that was just not good. And I mean, you can throw in the factors like the nine's been in an off season. It was a new car with a new team, with a new crew chief. You're not used to the way they do things, but I mean, that right there, that's the show. You're showing up in a Hendrick car, the car, like the big car.
In right. NASCAR. This is equivalent to the 8 back in 2004 or the 88 in 2015. Like, this is the car of the sport. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, man. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm silly. I expected Corey to compete for the win. I genuinely did. I was very high on Corey going into Gateway, and it didn't pan out. Like you said, you know, new environment. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. I don't know the first thing about what it takes to race in NASCAR. I know what it looks like as a fan, but I mean, I don't know what those pressures are. You know, I'm sure he was in a daze that whole week. He got the biggest opportunity of his life at a track that not many people have a whole lot of experience on, with a whole new team. You know, you couldn't fault him, but you definitely would have expected a better run out of him. Moving on from Gateway, Martin Truex wins again, this time at Sonoma. I don't really remember too much about this race. I think that it was kind of just a straightforward race, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
I was at this race. I got blessed with some tickets the week of. Ross Chastain won at Nashville Super Speedway. Also, breaking news, Jacob, you said that you had a prediction for where Josh Berry was going to go. Well, I hate to upset you here, but he's already signed.
Yeah, he did sign with SHR. But I don't agree with Ann Ford.
Okay.
I don't know that Stuart Haas, if Stuart Haas returns to Ford, I'm not sure what their contracts are. I think somebody said that they're contracted through. I thought their contract ended this year.
I think it's next season.
Is it next season? I think SHR is returning back to Chevrolet, because why is Josh Berry still like, he's still helping out Chevrolet teams.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a thing that happens. Case in point, if who was it? There was a team that was going to switch. Legacy. They ended up switching to Toyota. I mean, they were running bad before, but man, they started really running bad after that announcement.
Yeah, that whole team, man, I just feel sorry for Kevin. It sucks that he's having to go out like this.
Yeah.
And I say that, you know, he's got an incredible stat line this season. He's had top 10 after top 10 after top 10. He's had top fives. He's been there fighting for wins. But that whole organization, they kind of seem to be – they're not really a sinking boat as much as I feel like they're already settled on the bottom of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it for Kevin. Genuinely, man, I hate that he's going out like this, because I think Kevin Harvick is still, when it comes to racing, I still fully believe that he is in his prime of his capabilities. And I think if right now, if SHR was a Chevy team, I think that Kevin Harvick would be one of your primary contenders for the championship.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Harvick, I mean, even with SHR having a bad year, he really hasn't had a bad year. He's been consistent. He could very well win a race here coming up and advance in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, man, bad year for the four. And most of the time when you would hear somebody going to SHR, you're like, man, they could have a real good shot. But when I heard Josh Berry signed, I was like, that's surprising.
You kind of feel bad for him, right?
Yeah. You really are wanting to rebuild the program, my man. That's cool.
you're about to rebuild it, all right.
Yeah, but I believe in Josh Berry, and I think that they know what they're doing. Just a bad year for SHR.
I think Josh Berry is immensely talented. I think he's going to acclimate for sure to the Cup Series full time. But I think that he's not going to need years and years and years to develop. I mean, I could see him winning next season.
Yeah. The next race I'm really excited to talk about. We went to Chicago Road Course. Cody, I know you were super excited to go to this track. What did you think about the event itself?
I thought that NASCAR did a really, really, really cool thing, deciding to branch out, visit a what I consider to be a new market. Yeah, we had Chicagoland. Well, that track is dead. That track is done. There's no Save the Speedway Chicagoland. That is, it's too soon of a track for them to try to go back and have a vintage weekend there. So instead we go to Chicago Road Course. Cool layout. I felt like it was very well done. I think that there was more than enough room for proper racing. The rain sucked. It destroyed the entire, like, everything they had going on around the racetrack. It killed that. But people were still lining the streets to watch. So people were clearly interested. I know there's a lot of talk right now that Chicago's not in favor of it returning, but NASCAR holds the option to return if they want to. So it's not necessarily up to Chicago as much as it's up to NASCAR. The option remains with NASCAR, which I imagine NASCAR probably won't want to go to a place where they don't want them. I feel like that would just set up for maybe like a hostile, hostile ordeal. Yeah. So the rain sucks, but I loved it, man. I loved that whole weekend of racing, except for the Xfinity race. It was kind of weak the way they did that one.
Yeah, Cole Custer got the Dubski just by being there. Yeah. I'll say this is not a road course guy. I'm not a big road course guy. I mean, I'll watch them, but they don't really pique my interest. I'm pretty old school, as everybody knows. I like mile and a half, short tracks, different things like that, flat tracks. I'm just not really a big road course guy. Second best race of the year, this race right here. I enjoyed it very much so. I hope NASCAR goes back, but I do agree. With the way Chicago was acting,
they don't deserve it.
No, they're ungrateful. You know, when you got people at Road America that was selling out the place and showing up, I say take it back.
Six-figure numbers, man. Six-figure numbers.
Yeah, they should have never got a date taken away at Road America. I don't know. Road America's in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. To all my Wisconsin people, you guys got done dirty. You guys showed up to the race. You guys were ready to watch.
Yeah, man. Like, what do you do as a race fan? You know, if you enjoy something, you're like, let's go show them we like it. Let's go and camp out all weekend and spend a bunch of money at this place. That way we never lose it. What happens when you sell it out? They're like, nope.
Yeah, they take it away and they give it to a city that didn't even want them there. That's what's crazy. And that's what made me the most mad about Chicago. But good race. And what a surprise winner.
Surprise for some. I think I was hot on him going in, but Shane Van Gisbergen, the supercar guy from down under, comes over to NASCAR and wins in his first race. And, you know, he didn't win through some bogus, you know, crazy overtime nonsense. He drove the better race. He saved his stuff and he overtook and passed for the win.
He run them down. He absolutely run them down. Austin Dillon whiffed it. That's not the only thing he whiffed this year. He also whiffs a helmet throw later on. But he whiffed this race. Justin Haley got overtaken. bad year for Justin, man. But to see SVG come in and win in his first race ever, not only did... was that awesome for SVG, but it was really, really bad look for our drivers.
Yeah, I think I'm on the opposite side of this argument, which I've stayed on the opposite side the whole time that this argument's been made. I don't think that it's a bad look on our guys, just due to the fact that this generation, I'm going to call it what you call it, next gen, the next gen of the car. It was crafted, you know, after those supercars. The way they run over there, they used a lot of the resources that they could from Australia, and they implemented a lot of that stuff that just worked for them. So I think that in previous years, you know, if Shane would have came in 2021, I don't think he would have won. I don't think he would have been competitive. But I think that this sounds crazy. He had more experience, I think, than all of the Cup guys. Like, I think everybody was at a disadvantage to him just because of how similar his car is to Gen 7 and how long he's ran that car.
See, and this is where my conversation about Chase comes in earlier. The ideal scenario that this race should have ended was Chase Elliott should have been battling the new guy, you know, that came over. And he's a champion. Like, he's a good racer. I'm not disputing that. But, man, when our guys are supposed to be the best at doing what they do in their sport, and we got a guy that comes over here and not only wins it, but, I mean, he was in the top, what, five for most of the race?
Yeah, I mean, he came out, he qualified fast.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't speak enough on Justin Marks and Trackhouse with the Project 91. You know, on up until Justin Marks, how often did a ringer get into a great car? I mean, Marcos Ambrose, dude, if Marcos Ambrose would have been in the Project 91 car, that guy would have won every road course race there was.
I miss Marcos, man. Yeah, but I didn't think it was a good look for – I mean, they got their asses handed to them. That's what I said.
Oh, he whooped them good, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, I was really scared when he showed back up for the Indy. I was like, dude, if he does it twice, that's – man. Like, that's not –
yeah, and he ran great at Indy, too.
Yeah. Now, that being said, I want to see how this guy does on an oval.
He did so I don't know if you saw, he raced at IRP in the trucks.
I did not see that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he ran for Nice. I think he finished like 17th, but he was on the lead lap the whole time. That was the first time he ever raced on an oval.
Yeah, that's a different world when you step on an oval. There's a lot of things.
Especially in the truck series.
Yeah, it's a different world. It's a different beast, man. It's a beast all on its own.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the way his career plays out. I guess we're a few weeks away, but I'll go on and like spoil it because I didn't write it down as a note. He did sign a racing development deal with Trackhouse Racing. So no matter what going forward, he's going to be associated with Team Trackhouse, which I assume probably in the trucks, that's going to be Nice. I would imagine in Xfinity, it'll be Kolig. And then in the Cup, he'll probably be in the 91.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love SPG, dude. He's cool.
Really cool guy. I really liked his episode on the Dell Jr. Download. Because he really dove in and talked about how much he like appreciates NASCAR. And he talks a little bit about Marcos Ambrose and how Marcos told him that was the best decision he ever made was to come and race here. So really love getting to hear that stuff. Moving on. The next race that I was actually at, Atlanta number 2, rain shortened, freaking sucks, man. Because that was turning out to be just an incredible race. But Willie B wins. I think this is his – is this 3 or 4? 4.
This is 4?
Yep.
This was the first race of the year that as a fan I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
That sucked. But, I mean, Willie B's just had a hell of a year. Was it 4?
That is number 4.
Yeah. Wins Atlanta 2. Guess it's crazy that this is after that. Martin Truex Jr. wins at New Hampshire. That's our 2 leaders in the points right now.
Yeah. Those guys are duking it out, man. They're tied.
They're mirroring each other, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. You have young versus old, really, in that battle.
Yeah.
I think New Hampshire was a Monday race too, wasn't it?
I want to say yeah. I love
I'm pretty sure it was. Dude, I don't know which track that I care the less about, New Hampshire or Dover.
I will go to New Hampshire for a race.
You tried to talk me into going with
you. I want you to go with me. I think it would be fun. I think I just love random.
New Hampshire seems like a cool state.
Yeah, it would be fun, dude. It would be a good. I wouldn't drive. I'd fly. I would fly up there for the weekend, watch it, and then drive back or fly back. Fly. Yeah, I would fly, but I do want to go to New Hampshire at least once. I love that track. I think it's so racy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this year's New Hampshire race was pretty solid. If I remember it correctly, it was a fun race.
It was. It was. Every one of them has been fun, man. I love it all. Denny wins at Pocono, the Tricky Triangle.
Yep. This is the same week that Justin Haley announces that he is departing from college and going over to Rick Ware. And something else fun happened at Pocono. You alluded to it a little bit earlier. You could take that away.
Pocono, Denny, the door slam Kyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, when Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick.
Oh, yeah. He whiffs the helmet throw. Man, it's already bad when you wreck a car and everything like that, but it's just twice as bad. He whiffed it, man. He completely ruined it. He threw that helmet anywhere but the car. And it also wasn't Reddick's fault.
No. Not even slightly.
No. And he said, pull up the SMT data. And I was like, dog, you don't have to.
First off, you don't want that, buddy.
Well, he already got proven wrong earlier in the year at Gateway with Cindric.
Yep. Yeah,
because he said pull up the SMT data, and Cindric pulled it up, and he was like, "Yeah, never moved, dog." Came up.
Didn't he appeal for Cindric to get suspended?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Which is what I was talking about when Denny talked about the SMT data with Chase Elliott right rearing him. You know, that was pretty out there, but you can't really rely on the SMT data for every little aspect. I think in a right hook situation, yeah. But in a situation like that, man, be a man and go pay him back the next week. You know.
Yeah, just right rear him right back.
Well, yeah.
Why are you complaining? Yeah. Yeah. Bob Pockris doesn't want to be involved in any of this.
No, he didn't want to handle it like a man. He didn't want to tweet that out. Yeah, handle it like a man. Shut up.
we could just skim over these next 2 weeks if you want to.
That works.
Okay. Chris Buescher wins Richmond 2.
Roush is back.
Chris Buescher wins at Michigan.
Dude, Chris Buescher, such an underrated driver for many years. I think a lot of people forget that he's an experienced.
You've been saying that too. I want to be transparent. You have been saying that.
Yeah, I have been saying it ever since I saw him finish top 10 in the 37 car when he raced at JTG. That was the first time I looked at my father and said, that guy right there can drive. Like, if he drove that car up to a top 10, he didn't drive it up there like on a green-white checkered. He drove it the old-fashioned way, and I said, that guy right there can drive. And he won an Xfinity Series championship, which a lot of people forget about. He gets signed back on with Roush after they let Ricky Stenhouse Jr. go. And the first few years at Roush, it wasn't good, but that was a team issue. But when Brad came over, Brad has redefined this team and everything it stands for. And, I mean, really the whole year, Brad has had multiple chances at winning. Atlanta won, I believe. Had a really good shot at Atlanta, too. He's just been – him and Buescher both have been so good. And, I mean, to go back-to-back – at the later half of the regular season and win Richmond and then go and win Michigan. And not only win Michigan, but beat Martin Truex Jr., which is one of the best drivers of all time. I think that proves what Chris can do. And it proves that he will be a contender for the future. RFK has just got something going on. They're the best Ford team.
Hands down. I think that early in the season, I think it was starting to trend that way just based on, you know, Roush, they're not coming from nowhere this season. They have had a solid season from the start, apart from the clash, which
apart from the clash.
Talked about that. Yeah. But I mean, for the 500, Buescher and Brad were running right there together towards the front, leading throughout the whole race. Like, it's not like Roush hasn't performed and now they're just showing up. It's been, you know, waiting for when Brad was going to win, waiting for when Chris was going to win. I mean, honestly, if Brad didn't screw up at Michigan, he would have won that. Was it Michigan or was it Richmond where he missed his pit box?
I want to think it was Michigan. I think it was Michigan.
Yeah, and it just fell right into Buescher's lap.
It might have been Richmond, but I can't remember. It's hard when they're winning so much.
Yeah, hard to keep track. When they're running 1-2 all the time, it's like one of them win. I don't know which one.
And they just have this I'm curious to what Brad's IQ is, because it has to be high. Brad is always
definitely.
If you've watched it as long as I have. Since Brad has came in, he's such a smart racer.
Yeah. Like he's always been calculated, dude.
Yeah.
He won that Cup Series championship very, very, very young into his career.
Yeah. I think Brad might be the smartest driver out there.
I don't think that I would disagree with that. I've never thought about that. Like, who the most intelligent is, but I don't think that I would disagree.
Yeah, just the way he races and the way he calculates things. Now, he does make mistakes, crazy mistakes.
Yeah.
The pit box incident.
I think I would put him and Harvick right there side by side. I think that they would have to – like, I think it would come down to those two.
Yeah. But, yeah. And then I just read the next thing. Noah got suspended. Josh Berry is up yet again, this time in the number 42.
Yeah, so Noah likes a post on Instagram. Noah Gragson, driver of the number 42 for Legacy Motor Club. He likes a meme in reference to George Floyd on Instagram. When he liked it, I don't know. I don't think that there's ever really been a timeline set or played with. Someone finds it, screenshots it, posts it on Twitter. I remember seeing it posted that Friday night. Yeah. And I screenshotted it because I was like, man, like, this might turn into something, or this is going to get deleted. One of those things that I would send to the group chat and be like, what's this? Well, I woke up the next morning and Noah is suspended indefinitely from NASCAR. He's suspended from Legacy Motor Club. And guess what? Josh Berry's driving.
Yeah. Josh Berry drives it yet again. I that being said, I'm not going to talk. I don't want to talk about the initial like itself or anything like that. But I am genuinely scared. Noah is a very talented guy. He's worked his way up to the top level of the sport. A very dumb thing has got his and I'm not saying dumb that he liked the image is what I want to preface that before anybody turns my words around. Dumb that he liked the image. When you are trying to be the face of a race team and you are at the top level of the sport, everything you do, you are held accountable for. Just like if you were the CEO of a company or you were the president of our country, a lot of things fall back onto you. And wasn't a good move. People make mistakes. Just like the incident with Larson in 2020, he made a mistake. You know, people, that's us as humans, we're prone to doing it. We make mistakes. So I say that in the end, it was a move NASCAR thought that was the right call. I respect that. But my main point to this, Noah, I don't know if he will have a Kyle Larson-like situation. I don't think he's been in the sport long enough or really had a chance to show anything. And part of that is due to Legacy being a hot sack of garbage.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't want it to be construed as me like being an upset Noah fan, so I'm going to bash Legacy Motor Club. But no, that team is pathetic this season. I don't think anybody can disagree with that. I mean, last season, Eric Jones had a win. And this season, a win is not being three laps down.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Legacy is struggling. I don't hate the move to Toyota. I think that was the better move for them.
Yeah, I think that the writing is on the wall why that move is happening.
Yeah. But I don't know if Noah will come back and, like for instance, you know, Larson come back in a Hendrick car and won a championship. I don't know that Noah comes back in a Cup car. I just don't see it. So I'm sorry, Noah Gragson people. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think he makes it back eventually. But I don't, listen, we still have the number 31. It's open. Apparently, whoever's running it, like, it's going to be some crazy name that we're getting soon. If he goes to the 31, I will be genuinely surprised because I just don't foresee that happening. I look for him to drop back down to the Xfinity Series, maybe even the trucks, which I don't think he has anything to prove in the trucks. I don't think he needs to do the John Hunter route where he needs to drop all the way back down and grind his way back up. Ideally, what I would like to see is for Noah to end up in the 9 again. But apparently Brandon Jones is coming back. So yeah,
for some reason.
Yeah.
One word. Yeah. Menards.
Right. Which I feel like Black Rifle and Bass Pro is worth more than Menards. But I'm probably wrong because Menards is a huge sponsor in NASCAR.
I said that and that was kind of mean, but like, I want Brandon Jones to do good, but it has not been a good first year for him.
I think he's just, I mean, I don't think it's mean to say that he's not that guy. Like, I don't think he's that guy, pal. He's not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Noah is away from the sport for indefinite, and Josh Berry's running again.
And a Chevrolet, I want to point that out. And this is after the announcement for the SHR Ford car.
So we're starting, we have three races left in the regular season. Things are kind of dicey right now in the playoffs. We have Michael McDowell on the cuff of making it in. Bubba Wallace, Ty Gibbs, Daniel Suarez, Chase Elliott's still in the mix. AJ Allmendinger's in the mix. It's really starting to heat up for who's going to get one of those last few spots. Well, Michael McDowell shows up at Indy and says, I'll take a spot, and he wins. Michael McDowell gets his second career NASCAR Cup Series win.
Best race of the year. That's my favorite race of the year.
Indy was?
Indy.
Man, that's so road courses are your top two?
I know, man. It's super weird, but that is the best race of the season. Just the storyline. You had Suarez, you had McDowell, you had Chase Elliott. These three guys below the cutoff line racing and grinding their way, trying to claw their way into a chance to race for a championship. And, I mean, it was just so exciting to see those three cars run so good. But, I mean, Michael McDowell, man, this is not a surprise to me whatsoever. I know it's not you either. He has been one of those drivers that has just started to come on late in his career, and it's taken a while. But he has a ton of talent, especially at road courses. But honestly, it's starting to trickle over on ovals now. That team has just got something going on, and it was cool to see him get a second victory.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not like Michael leapfrogged a whole bunch of spots. He was one of those guys in contention for the playoffs. He had a great season. Front Row has had an incredible season with both of their guys. You know, the few times that Zane Smith has hopped in for Todd and it pushed Todd somewhere else, I disagreed with, because I think Todd has achieved well beyond what that 38 car is capable of on a regular basis. I think he's got – I don't want to butcher it now. I want to think it's like 8 top 15 finishes this season for that car. That's pretty freaking good.
That is.
And so – it was either the week of Indy or the week before. Don't quote me. But Michael McDowell and Todd Gillen are locked in for another season with Front Row in 2024. So, you know, there was a lot of if or ands about McDowell going to the Stuart Haas number 10. If Eric retires, well, those rumors are kind of squashed now because Michael is staying put with Front Row, which I think is a good move for him and the organization.
And I don't blame him. Second best Ford team of the season.
Agreed. And that's weird to say with Penske even existing, but when it comes down to performance and advancements, Front Row and RFK both have, like, really, in my opinion, like, led the Ford camp because they're two most funded teams, the teams that should be leading and setting the example, Penske and Stuart Haas. Dude, Roush and Front Row, they don't have the resources and the money pumping in like a Penske or a Stuart Haas. And they're taking whatever they could get out of their cars and they're getting good finishes. And Penske just isn't. And Stuart Haas just isn't. So congratulations, Front Row. Michael, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, buddy.
Yep. We go to walk in the next week.
Yep.
Willie Byron wins again.
Yeah, dude. This one, he just put a clinic on. Absolute clinic. I think he led 60 out of the 90 laps. So he led like 61 or 62 of them. That's absurd.
That's an old school ass whipping right there.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. He put it on him.
And then the next race, guess what? Chris Buescher goes for his third win of the season at Daytona at the Pepsi Zero Sugar 400. Was it Pepsi?
Yeah. No, it's Coke Zero. Pepsi Zero is the old one.
Yeah, that's the old one. I was like, did they change it? And I didn't realize
I wrote that down. Dude, I'm stuck in the past sometimes.
Hey, dude, sometimes people are stuck in the past, man.
I don't know why I'm so stuck in the past, bro.
Dude, I wish some people would understand that they're just so focused on the past.
Third win in 5 weeks.
Yep.
I don't think anybody anticipated Chris Buescher to win this one, which now I feel like you should maybe anticipate him to win every single week. But going into this one, honestly, Chris just wasn't on my radar to win. I figured if anything, Roush, like if they were like, well, we got to pick one car to really give it to this week, I would have maybe anticipated it to be Brad, you know? Same. But Brad was already locked in. Him and Harvick locked in at Watkins Glen. There was one spot up for grabs going into the Coke Zero Sugar or the Coke Zero 400. It was Bubba and Ty. Those guys were racing through points. And then everybody else behind them were racing for a win to get in scenario. Ty Gibbs ends up wrecking out early. So then in a hard crash, which we covered this on LTC Live, so we don't need to rehash this race. It just happened. But Bubba was locked in by points pretty early into this race, but there were a lot of guys who hadn't won yet who were running top five.
Yeah, it was insane. I got really, really scared about Ty Gibbs there for a little bit. I was like, man, this guy could come out and pull it off. And then after the wreck with Blaney, you know, it became not really his day. But Buescher, the thing about Buescher and Brad, and I want to point this out because I didn't point this out on the live show because I wanted to point this out on here. The thing about Buescher and Brad, when they get hooked up at a super speedway, they do not change. They stay hooked up.
Talk about synergy.
Yes, they have the best team working skills of any driver. And there's one reason to why. And if you look at most of the super speedway races and where they get hooked up and why they're running up front, there's a reason for it. And that's because neither of these guys are selfish. The rest of these teams would 100% pull out off of their teammate 90% of the time to go try to get the dub for themselves.
Oh, dude, 1,000,000%.
1,000,000%. RFK doesn't do that. And the results show at super speedways. If you look at most of the super speedways, they're running up front. The other day on the classics, NASCAR channel, whatever that is, I forget. I think it's Fox Sports was playing like a classic. They played the Daytona race from last year, the one where it rained.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, dude, that 17 fifth, third bank Ford Mustang was like third.
Beautiful scheme.
Yeah, beautiful car. Don't know why that scheme's hated. I've been seeing a lot of stuff where people are like, I don't like that scheme. I'm like, you're out of your mind. You're out of your freaking mind. But I Buescher winning. Brad finished second. I think we got to point that out. That was a 1-2 finish. Chase does not win. He gets out.
The most popular driver is out.
Yep. Due to his own doing.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Chase Elliott had more than enough ample opportunities to put himself in the playoffs with the injury, with the suspension. He still had how many races did he? Was it seven? Is that how many he missed?
Yes, seven in total.
Okay, so he had 19 other opportunities to lock himself in.
Yeah, they just weren't there. I mean, he gave it a good, and I'm going to say he gave it a good shot at Daytona. I think pitting with the Fords on the last green flag stop was a really good decision by Alan Gustafson. I think that was a good choice because Ford's a super speedway, and we've talked about this a lot. Ford's a super speedways when they're pitting and they all get together, it's unstoppable. They just have such a – they have it so down. But really good thing for Brad and Buescher. I love seeing Buescher win. And I think now that Buescher is a threat for the round of four, he is fourth in points right now.
Earlier, after he had locked in, so it's been just a few weeks, you had said that he was your sleeper for the championship four. I think at this point, I think it's fair. Like, I don't think you're crazy anymore for what that's worth.
Man, people think I'm crazy on a lot of things I say. I try to give light to a lot of guys that I think that are good and maybe don't get a lot of recognition. Buescher has been one of those. Bailey Curry is one of those. Kyle Weatherman, another one that I think. There's a few other ones. Can't think of right now. But
you're like an intuition expert for NASCAR.
Yeah, I seek out drivers that I think are going to be good, and he's definitely one of them. Riley Herbst was somebody that really impressed me in a cup car in that race.
He looked good. He really did.
Maybe a cup. If he's got the sponsorship and he's ready to go, maybe a cup program. Xfinity just ain't cutting it out. Maybe a cup program would be good for him.
I mean, he's got terrible Herbst and Monster in his corner. Like, he's got the funding for it. I think he just needs to find the team.
Yeah. What I want to talk about, though, is before we end this, and we did not make the 60-minute mark, I promise – these episodes are not going to usually be this long, but we just had a lot to cover.
Yeah, we just covered 28 races.
Yeah, that's a lot. So don't expect all these episodes to be this long. But one of the things I think we have to talk about, right, is we are now in the round of 16. We have the round of 16 locked.
Yep.
Would you care to read off who is in?
Yeah, I'll read from 16 down to first. So we got Bubba Wallace, Kevin Harvick, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Michael McDowell, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Tyler Reddick, Brad Keselowski, Ross Chastain, Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, Chris Buescher, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., and William Byron.
This is the most competitive playoff field that I've seen in a long time.
Totally agreed.
This is an insane playoff field. Any one of these drivers can move on, really. I want to say this. So in this round, we have Darlington, we have Kansas, and we have Bristol. Darlington, the last winner of Darlington was William Byron. I think we need to point that out. MPJ, he's strong at Darlington. Kyle Larson is strong at Darlington.
Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin is strong at Darlington. I think the Roush camp will be strong at Darlington. They usually run good there.
Bubba's not too bad at Darlington.
Bubba's not bad at Darlington. Michael McDowell's not really that bad at Darlington. And we got Kansas. Kansas is a good shot for Toyota as a whole. All the Toyotas that are in the playoffs.
Yeah, solid day for Toyota.
Yeah, Bubba has a real good shot to advance there. And then we had Bristol. And then I think about Bristol, and I think that literally every one of these drivers could do well at Bristol. I don't think there's one driver that I see that couldn't do well.
No. I mean, this first round especially, I don't think that there's any one guy who is going to, like, run away and win two out of the three.
No. So my question for you to end this, now that we are in the round of 16, who is the ones that you think are for sure going to be out? Who do you think advances?
I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
I think that Ryan Blaney and Michael McDowell are out. I think that Ricky Stenhouse and Bubba Wallace are out.
So you think those are your four?
Yeah.
Mine's pretty similar. The thing about Darlington is, and Bristol, specifically those two tracks, and it can happen in Kansas too, but Darlington and Bristol. Darlington is such a hard track to drive. You can get caught up in a wreck at Darlington pretty quick. Or you can put yourself in the wall pretty fast. Bristol, you can, same way. You can get caught up in a wreck at Bristol pretty easy. Or you can find yourself in the wall. It's easy to do. My four is Bubba Wallace, unfortunately. Bubba does have a good shot at Kansas. I want to point that out. I think I gave him a 50% chance to get in, to advance. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., I love JTG, and I love – and they've had a good year. JTG has had a decent year. They've had
– Yeah, I think seven top tens. Two top fives, one win. For a team like that, that's a good season.
Yeah. I give him a 15% chance in my percentage predictions. I just don't see it happening. I think that's the one definite out. Then the next one I'm going to say is Ryan Blaney. And as bad as I hate to say it, I think Kevin Harvick doesn't make it.
Really?
I don't think. I'm not saying that he's not going to win.
Man, that would suck to see.
That would be terrible. But I can't get behind Kevin moving on. One person that I do disagree with who you said is Michael McDowell. Dude, I have been getting flamed on Twitter for saying that McDowell was going to make it. But I think people are insane to think that McDowell ain't.
How far do you think he goes?
I don't think he goes past the round of 12. I think the round of 12, it gets really competitive.
Yeah.
But also, in that round, guess what track you have?
Is that Roval?
Yeah.
I'm going to look at the schedule here. Yeah.
You got the Roval.
And Talladega.
And Dega.
So, and I mean, Texas.
And Texas. This guy could win and make it to the round of eight for sure. He's just had a too good of a season. Have you ever heard of the Stack and Denny's podcast?
No.
Okay. Well, I just got introduced to these guys. I'm going to poke a little fun at them. He quote retweeted me, and he said, this guy's average position has been two full positions worse than it was last year, talking about this season. When Michael McDowell advances, I'm going to flame that guy on Twitter. It's going to happen. Last season, he finished, don't quote me on this, I'm pretty sure he finished sixth at Darlington, 11th at Bristol, and somewhere in the teens in Kansas. I can't remember.
I feel like that's going to be enough to get you into the next round.
Yes, because you can't tell me, as long as he keeps his car clean at Darlington, Kansas, and Bristol, you know some of these guys are going to have bad days. And the points are so tight that when they have a bad day, it's not good.
Well, now, as far as, like, trending, right, because the playoffs don't restart the entire season. They don't restart momentum. The way it's trending, in all fairness, I feel like Ross Chastain is liable to get knocked out.
He is. He's very
liable. I feel like Kyle Busch is liable to get knocked out.
Yeah.
I feel like Tyler Reddick is liable to get knocked out. And I certainly feel like Ryan Blaney is liable to get knocked out.
Ryan Blaney is a lock for me to get locked out. I don't see him advancing. I just don't see the speed. And honestly, Joey Logano, too. I don't think that he's had there's two things that's going to happen with Joey. He's either going to turn up the heat now this playoff time because it's the same thing he done last year.
Yeah.
He did run better last year, but he could do that. Or he's not going to run good at all, and he's going to get knocked out.
I don't understand why Joey is so far back in points. And that's just based on his stats. Like, he's got 8 top fives, 13 top tens, 3 stage wins, and 1 win. He's fine, in my opinion. I think Joey is A-okay. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Joey.
Yeah.
But Blaney, I don't see Blaney. Like, I will not be surprised to see him get knocked out.
No, me neither. I just don't see Blaney making it. I don't see Stenhouse making it. I don't see Kevin making it. As bad as I hate to say, and Kevin could very well come out and perform at Bristol and Darlington. Those are two tracks that I can see him really performing at. I don't really put Kansas in there with him, but I just don't see Kevin moving on. I just don't. I hate it. I hate to say it like that, but he's not. But I think McDowell moves on.
I wouldn't hate to see it. I think it would be cool.
Yeah, he is a threat for the round of 8 for sure, just because of the Roval.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. I mean, it would be it would definitely prove some people wrong, that's for sure. But I totally expect for him to do well. But, yeah, it's going to be a rough few weekends, Darlington and Bristol specifically.
I'm excited for them. I think we're setting up for a really great and fun playoff.
We are. And I don't see Kyle Busch going out. I think Kyle Busch makes it, but I do see Reddick making a mistake. I think he wants to advance, but I don't think his team wants him to.
I don't think anybody other than the drivers and Denny Hamlin want anyone to see, and Kurt Busch. I don't think anybody else at 2311 wants those guys to succeed.
Yeah. That team should be flourishing. I cannot figure that out.
Both of them. The 45 and the 23. I mean, like, as an organization, I know there's always going to be, like, the haters. And is Bubba an elite top 5 driver? I mean, no.
No.
But I mean, Bubba's definitely got it in him to win a couple races a year. Tyler Reddick has it in him to win several races per year. But it's just like, dude, whatever the crew chiefs or the crews can do to make sure that they don't win – they always take every possible step.
So before we end this, before we even start, who's your final four? I got to know who your final four is.
My final four?
Yeah.
I don't think it's changed a whole lot throughout the course of the season, to be honest with you. I think that – hold on, let me get it pulled back. Yeah. I think William Byron is a lock. He has to be. I think that Martin Truex Jr. is a lock. I think that Denny Hamlin is a lock. And here is where I'm just setting in between two guys. And if you want me to force it, I will. But for my fourth place, I think it's going to come down to either Chris Buescher or Kyle Larson.
Exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Yeah, anybody who thinks Kyle Larson's not going to have a hell of a run coming up, you're insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm between those two as well. I'm not sure who to pick. I mean, it's crazy to think. Kyle Larson has two wins, right?
Yeah.
Technically three, right? Technically three with the All-Star.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think that Kyle Larson is out one by Chris Buescher.
Who would have expected that?
Yeah.
Now, I do want to show one thing. Kyle Larson has six DNFs this season.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be hard to win a championship with that kind of DNF ratio.
Yeah. With the tracks coming up, the way that people run in this round is going to prove to how they run pretty much to the playoffs. I think momentum is key here. The one person I could see falling out of the playoffs, or two, is Denny and Chris. Right now, they're third and fourth right now. I could see them two falling out. And the only reason I say that is because I know you said earlier on the LTC Live that you've seen Chris Buescher having a Tony Stewart-like season. Dude, I genuinely think Brad Kay could come out and do that, like an actual Tony Stewart. Yeah. With Darlington and Brit, he should have won Bristol last year. Buescher ended up getting the dub, but Brad led until he had the flat.
Yeah.
He's good at Darlington. I think Kansas is a stretch for them. I think that will be a Toyota win. And then we move on to Dega. Dude.
Yeah, let them link up.
Yeah, let them link up. Let them do whatever. And then we have the Roval. That is the weak point for Brad, is the Roval. Brad's going to have to really pull together a good run at the Roval. And then we have Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texas is the cutoff?
No, it's Texas opens that round.
What is it? Talladega, Roval?
Texas, Talladega, Roval.
Texas, Talladega, Roval, yeah.
Yeah.
Texas could go either way. But I could see him having that type of run. I could see Kyle Busch having that type of run.
You think that the champion will dominate the playoffs?
No. You talking about the regular season champion, or like
the eventual champion? Do you think that they dominate the playoffs?
What's scary is William Byron has won Phoenix this year.
Yeah,
as you said earlier, he very well could, but also too, in the last few weeks, I've not really seen Willie B as like a front runner or MTJ. I mean, they've had good runs. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they hadn't been there. They've been there.
Yeah, I mean, they finished 1-2 at Watkins Glen.
Yeah, they finished 1-2 at Watkins Glen. But ever since then, like, I've kind of – like. And I don't know if this is a stretch, but it seems like they've kind of had like a drop-off, if that makes sense, a little bit.
I'm sorry, it was Denny who finished second, Watkins Glen. I lied.
Okay. Well, like Willie B done good at Watkins Glen. And I know that was just a few races ago.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of getting this sense or feeling, I'm not sure, like, that maybe like the fastest cars haven't started running yet. Like, maybe there's going to be a shift.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I'm following you. So you think that the champion is still asleep?
I think it's a sleeper champion, yeah.
So, like, you won't be surprised if Joey Logano wins the championship?
Mm-mm. 100% no.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw a final four out there. Chris Bell, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Denny Hamlin. Would that surprise you as a final four?
Would not surprise me. Would it surprise you?
I think so.
The only reason I say no to that is because I could see Brad doing – Brad's due.
Yeah. I feel like there's only two spots open for the final four.
And in reality, I feel like
William Byron and Truex are locked into that final four today.
In reality, they are. In reality, I see them going to the final four. My problem is I don't know if they'll win the ship.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Dude, imagine, just hear me out here. Bubba wins, Kansas locks in. Bubba wins Talladega, locks in. Bubba wins Martinsville.
Locks in.
Bubba wins Phoenix.
And that's the thing I'm saying. Like, I could see it being a total shift. And, man, like, Phoenix, and I'm going to say this is going to be controversial, but stick with me. Not that they aren't deserving, right? But every champion we've had in the next gen so far, and it's only one. Really, the only deserving champion I can really think of in the playoffs as of recent is Larson. There's always been some guy that's gotten knocked out here in the past 4 or 5 years, like Kevin Harvick.
True. That is a good point. Yeah. Who do you think deserved 2019, Harvick?
Yeah.
2018.
Martin Truex.
Yeah.
100% deserved.
2017.
Shit, who won 2017? Is that Kyle Busch?
No. Busch was 19 and 15. Joey.
I think Joey won 2018, didn't he?
Was Joey 2018? Was 2017?
NTJ. Yeah, NTJ. Okay. Yeah. Deserving. That was a deserving one.
Chase.
No. No.
Okay. Do you not think that Joey deserved it last year?
No.
Chase deserved it last year.
Yes. I love that Joey won the championship. And in reality, right? Like, he did deserve it. Like, he was there. They made the right moves. I'm not taking away his championship whatsoever. He is the 2022 champion forever. But was he the most deserving? No. He was the most deserving in terms of playoffs.
You know who deserved the 2016 championship?
Oh, I know who deserved the 2016
championship. Carl Edwards.
Yeah. Taken away. See what I mean? Like, most of these champions during these playoffs haven't really been the most deserving. I mean, 2020 should have been Kevin Harvick or Denny.
Right. And I think that's what has made our playoffs polarizing. Yeah. Right. A lot of people don't like that. I'm indifferent. I like the fact that it balances it out for a smaller group of guys and that we're not crowning a champion with 4 weeks left. I'm glad we don't have that.
I'm a fan of this. I'm not talking shit about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I wish we did it a little bit differently is all. I think that your regular season champion, hear me out here, regular season champion, they get a first round bye. They race, but they're already locked in for the round of 12, okay? Everybody's playoff points matter for the first round. After the first round, we reset after each round. We reset to zero.
I'm not opposed to that. I kind of like... Shout out Vince, left turn Colt Vince. Is he still with us, isn't he?
I like to think so. If anything, just in spirit.
In spirit, yeah. I like Vince's idea too about running three races. Maybe shortening it to the round of 12.
For the championship, having a championship round.
And then the last race being for the cutoff, instead of it being Daytona, switch Daytona back to the 4th of July, just because I feel like that's pinnacle of racing. Not that Daytona isn't fun for the end of the playoffs. It is.
Well, you know, Daytona doesn't want it.
Yeah.
As a
Yeah,
city, they don't want it on the fourth.
they don't want it at a 4th. Yeah, but who cares what they want? It's about
Right,
us NASCAR, you
yeah.
know.
It's not about the city that hosts it.
But I'm a big fan of the three. Or you could just leave Daytona where it's at. I mean, and have the cutoff at Bristol. Bristol is the last race to lock yourself in. Because, I mean, what track do you have to actually drive yourself to the limit other than Bristol?
Right. Yeah, I think that's why Martinsville makes for such a good cutoff race for the championship.
Yeah.
I mean, look, exactly because of what Ross did last year.
Yep. And what a move.
Dude,
And
still
that's
iconic.
something that, like, it's hard to count out Ross because he was willing to tear down
Right,
half the
yeah.
wall in Martinsville, you know?
Yeah, and if Chase wouldn't have tried to cut down in front of him, you know,
Yeah, I know.
Ross
Just
probably would have won the championship last
got in his way, man.
year.
But yeah, I think this is a good stopping point, don't you?
Yo, dude, we're 2 hours in. I hope everybody's enjoyed this.
Yeah, me too. This is definitely new. I enjoyed it though. It flowed well.
I think so. I think we started kind of like awkward and rocky, but once we really got started talking, I think we got in our comfort zone.
Yeah. Once we started to like actually reminisce about the season.
Yeah, dude, it's weird looking back on the season. It feels like it's flown by.
I know. We're almost at Christmas, man.
I know. And I'm gonna push really hard and try to have this episode out like ASAP, like tonight.
Yes. Also, I feel like we have to announce our thing on this episode.
Take it away, buddy.
All right. So for the first time in Left Turn Cult history, we will be giving away what we call the Brass Award. The Brass Award will be awarded to the 17th place driver in the standings. It will come with a $25 gift card to their sponsor. And it's going to be fun. We're going to give it to them personally. The
Or at
Brass
least
Award.
try.
Yeah. The Left Turn Cult Brass Award is something that we like to talk about with prestige. It's something that has to be earned. No, you didn't win the championship. No, you didn't win the playoffs, but you were technically the first person outside. I don't want to say first loser because I feel like that's just kind of being a dick, but
16th loser, really.
16th, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
17th place. This award will go out to the driver. What drivers do we have that are fighting for 17th place right now?
Let's see. In reality, I feel like it'll come down in between Allmendinger, Elliott, Bowman, Gibbs, and Suarez. Those are all the guys. Well, and Cindric. Those are the guys that are within 100 points of 17th.
Daniel Suarez is 17th right now, right?
No, Suarez is, yes, Suarez is 17th.
Daniel, you right now are in the lead for the Left Turn Cult Brass Award.
Now he's only 6 points ahead of Tyrone.
Oh, Ty Gibbs, you could get the Left Turn Cult Brass Award. I don't know if these drivers know how prestigious this award is,
It's
but
pretty prestigious.
I would say NASCAR Cup Championship, Left Turn Cult Brass Award.
I think after really sitting back and marinating on it, I agree.
Like the regular season championship is nothing. Martin Truex Jr. has squat compared to this medal that we're going to give away.
Yeah, I mean, how many drivers in NASCAR history have ever won a brass medal from a podcast?
None. Zero. But that's going to change this year. We're going to do it. I don't know about the $25 gift card, though. I just kind of threw that in there. It might happen. That might be a good idea.
How would we get Bowman like a $25 ally gift card?
That's a good point. I was thinking about like how we would get a gift card for Tootsies.
Oh, well, we could do a Jockey.
Jockey.
For Ty Gibbs, like a $25 gift card to Lifeway.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Hobby Lobby. I bet he's a Hobby Lobby guy. Alex Bowman, we will donate $25 to like the ASPCA or whatever organization it is he likes.
We will donate $25.
That's the way we should do it. Whatever foundation that the driver supports, we'll donate $25 to.
Yes.
But they're going to get a brass medal.
The driver. Maybe it should be more. If we're going to donate to charity, maybe it should be more than $25. I could foot the bill on that one. We'll donate.
I don't even think you can ride it off until it's at 1,000, right?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. But in the end, there's a driver out there that's going to win the left turn called Brass.
Yeah, there is going to be a winner outside of the playoff bubble.
Yes. And we are going to be there to celebrate with them. Or hand the medal off to somebody that will hopefully give it to them. I'm not sure yet. I know one thing, Justin Marks, if you're listening to this, if Daniel Suarez wins 17th place, we're going to have a hell of a celebration. We're driving to your shop. We're going to give the brass medal to him. It's going to be a whole ceremony.
I will bring the strobe lights.
Yes. There will be
red carpet. You bring the fog machine.
I'll bring the fog machine. But yeah, 17th place, brass.
Hey, five below, they're selling disco balls right now.
Are they really?
Yeah, so we could buy just a bunch of disco balls.
And just hang them off the Grand Marquis, pull up.
I was thinking, like, inside of whatever race shop it is. Yeah. We'll just set up, like, a little, like, rave booth for the induction.
Yeah. I just don't feel like 17th place, the drivers, I don't feel like the points, and this is dead serious. I don't feel like the points battle outside of the playoffs is really looked at. So that's the reason that we're doing this.
Yeah. Like last year, I wish that we could have gave Truex his.
Yeah. Did he not make the playoffs last year?
No. Blaney made it in, remember?
Oh, yeah. Man, he's really changed things up.
Yeah. Well, I saw something. Last year, Chase Elliott won the regular season title and Truex missed the playoffs. This year, Truex won the regular season title and Chase missed the playoffs.
They're their own worst enemy.
Yep, yep. Those guys are pulling against each other every week.
Yep. That's it, I feel like.
This was a good one.
This was a good episode, yeah. I enjoyed this. I hope the fans enjoy this.
Yeah, if you got this far, first off, God bless you. Secondly, let us know if you liked it.
Yeah, we promise the next episode will be 90 minutes. I'm not sure how we're going to do these. Are we going to do these each race?
It doesn't. For the rest of the playoffs, we could actually, if you want to, for the remainder of the playoffs, we could do at the start of each round.
Maybe that would be. Yeah, that would be good.
And then we could do one for the championship week.
Championship week, yeah.
Yeah, and then going into next season, hopefully we have our lives together enough to where we could do this weekly.
Yes. Because I actually had a lot of fun doing this. This was fun.
But, yeah, it's honestly, I love you, chat, but it was really nice not having to deal with you.
Also, I want to do one of these episodes outside of the RFK shop. They didn't respond to our tweet. It was also, I didn't even think about this. It was also media day.
That is, oh yeah, that guy was busy.
That guy was super busy. We just want to set a table up in the parking lot. We don't want anything. Like, we don't want like special treatment. I just want to be on RFK property so I can say Roush is back.
Yeah, and not get kicked off.
Yeah, we just don't want to get kicked off. We don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Right, like we'll come and just set it up.
Yeah, like we'll just sit on the sidewalk. We'll
play the game of Risk, but we would much rather have a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'd like to do it in front of the RFK sign.
Jack rides by and he like sprays us with a water hose. Like, you all get away from my son.
I would just let it happen. I'd be like, oh my God, Jack Roush is spraying me with a water hose right now.
Chris Buescher comes out, joins us for lunch.
That would be kind of cool, though. I mean, to set up a podcast and talk about serious stuff and do it with Buescher and Brad. And then we could do it at different spots, like Junior Motorsports.
Beautiful Junior campus they have.
Yeah. Junior Motors. I've never been there. Junior Motorsports, Penske, 2311, Trackhouse. I feel like if whoever wins the Brass Award, we should have them on this show in the office.
I think that would be fair. I think that the winner earns an interview with us.
Yeah.
Like they question us. We don't question them. They earn the honor of interviewing us.
So how'd you guys start? You know.
Long story short. Dude, think about that. Like, you go to interview somebody, and like you said, they're in silence, and they're finally like, "So, are you gonna ask anything?" You're like, "Oh, I thought you were asking the questions."
Oh, this is.
I scheduled an interview with you.
Yeah, we gave you an award.
Yeah,
it's a major award.
It's almost covered by ESPN.
Yeah, almost.
Not quite yet, though.
No, not quite. I want to thank everybody for listening to this. This is new. This is something that me and Cody's doing. I'm gonna go on a little bit of a monologue here, but we've been doing podcasting with the Left Turn Call since 2020, and we have gotten to travel and meet with a lot of great people, and we love covering this sport, and we love talking about it, and we love having people that listen to our show. This is an outlet for us to get kind of strategic with and to be kind of serious. And this presented to you is the Left Turn Cult Off the Track, Episode 1. Cody, this was a blast.
Dude, I enjoyed it. It was nice getting to be like, serious. It's been a while.
It's fun. Yeah.
I forgot what it was like to not have people roasting me in the comments for.
Yeah, you definitely grow tough skin. You grow tough skin on the live chat.
You have no choice.
But we promise, as much as we joke, we know what we're talking about.
Oh, you do? I don't. I just talk. Yeah, dude.
You're humble, man. You're humble.
I try to be. I think that we have pretty good, honestly. I mean, not to toot our horns. I feel like all of us give pretty solid takes. I think that Dalton and Cooper give takes that are a little bit more with the heart than the mind. I like to think
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
I like to think that I give more takes with my mind than my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to think about things before I usually say them. Sometimes I don't, but I usually like to have a good thought behind it. Parv, you know, we couldn't go this whole episode without talking about Parv too. But Parv, in recent years, he has came a long way too. He has some good thoughts.
He finally thinks, and that's what we've been waiting on.
Yeah, I mean,
no, Parv has genuinely grown as a NASCAR fan. And I know it sounds funny to say it that way, but like when it started out, dude, what was it, 3-4 episodes in, when I was like, Parv, do you even watch NASCAR? And he's like, yeah, I've watched 3 races. And we're like, yeah, what?
This guy was like so up for the podcast task, man. I have no idea why, but in recent, he's became really. Really educated with his views. But yeah. That being said, this is our show. this is our show.
Yeah.
I love everybody.
Yeah, that's why everybody else's personalities, I think, work best in the live environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that's not a dig or a knack at anybody. I love doing the lives, but I actually prefer this myself.
Same.
Just because I feel like I hate to be that guy and be like, oh, I have ADD or ADHD, self-diagnosed. It's nothing like that. It's just, it's hard to keep a straight thought when chat is going crazy and you're trying to convey a point and, like, people are roasting you or, you know, talking about something else. And then you lose your train of thought. And that happens a lot on the live stream. So not having a chat or viewers to try to entertain, I think it allows for a better conversation sometimes.
Yeah, and I love our viewers or listeners both. I love the cult. I love the cult with all my heart. All of them make me happy. I smile when I hear from you. I love it. That being said, I am a quiet person. Cody can tell you that. I'm a quiet guy. And I'm kind of more chilled out and relaxed in my later years.
You're nicer than I am, bro. I'll just say I hate chat sometimes. I think, yeah, dude, 100%. Yeah. I think chat is like sometimes fighting over the one brain cell that's lingering around in there.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. But the thing about this podcast is it'll be fun to do because we can put out content. And I think this is also a good outlet to get drivers and people that are within the sport on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's hard for people to find free time Monday nights at 10 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is something that me and Cody can work on. Also, before we go, local track tour next year. I've got two already that I think are perfect.
And I think we need to keep those hushed until there's an official.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that once we get those scheduled, I think that's when we release where.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
But if you're still listening and there's a specific place you want us to go, tell us about it on Twitter.
At us.
Tag them and us.
It's at Left Turn Cult.
Yeah, LTC, Litecoin.
Oh, no. Thank God you told me that, man. That was insane.
Well, I was like, there's got to be something that's keeping these bots attached to him. And I go and I see your bio's got an email in, and I'm like, try that. And then I'm like, wait a minute, LTC, Litecoin. I own a Litecoin. I've owned one for years now. And yeah, and then it finally just like dinged that it's LTC.
Yeah, it was crazy. They would not leave me alone, man. They were on every tweet as soon as I sent it.
Have you noticed a difference?
Yeah, they've not been bothering me since then. So that was it. You were right. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Don't have anything related to cryptocurrency in your username.
It will ruin your life.
Slowly but surely.
It will absolutely drive you insane. Well.
I was waiting on you. I thought you were going to say something there. I guess this is whenever you have your first awkward pause, I think that's when you know that you've done your due.
Yeah, we've talked as much as we can talk. So thank you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by. I'm just going to hit the cancel record button.
Oh. Please don't pull a coup.
But hey, thanks for tuning in for the first ever episode of LTC Off the Track.